You are the master of your reality. This is even more true in relation to the government. Democracy doesn't just happen. It takes participation. Governments need participation and feedback from their citizens. Join Rob Hutchinson for Dear Parliament, where you get to understand the issues and engage directly with government. Dear Parliament is every Wednesday at midday, only on 101.9 High FM.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Dear Parliament right here on High FM. I'm Rob Hutchinson. I haven't been on for a while. I do apologize. I shall make it up to our listeners in the best way that I possibly can. Freebies will be available at the High FM studios. Walk in, introduce yourself to everyone, shake hands, and that's about all I can offer at this stage. But yeah, it's been an interesting time this year. I think we've been thrown in the deep end rather quickly, influenced by the American administration and what's going on in the US. Some quite interesting things that have had a great influence on, or a significant influence on, the South African economy and local policies and everything else that has been going on here. I've just noticed some interesting things in the news lately. There's been quite a change, or quite a disruption within the banking sector, with a closing of a lot of ATMs. This obviously is a move towards creating a digital currency in South Africa. The big four banks have closed around 400 ATMs in just over a year. In fact, in exactly a year, which is quite a significant amount. The only bank that hasn't done so, in fact, has done the complete opposite, is Capitec. Capitec have bucked the trend, and they've actually opened about 705, well, not about, exactly 705 new ATMs. And they've done so because they realize that in South Africa, there's still a high reliance on cash, and Capitec has the largest number of banking clients compared to all the banks, and they obviously know that their market is still deals a lot with cash, and will do so for the foreseeable future. But that does spark an interesting and perhaps concerning trend towards a cashless society, we could have a whole week's worth of shows on discussing the dangers of a cashless society and how that moves towards total control of your finances and your expenditure and everything else through or by the banks. And of course, monitoring exactly what you do purchase. And there's so many angles around that I could go on forever. But another interesting topic that I picked up in the news was a little known fact around the Employment Act, the Labor Relations Act, and the taking of public holidays. Did you know that you can actually swap a public holiday out for a working day, and then exchange that public holiday for any day that you want to? It's a clause in the Labor Relations Act, which is, I think is quite great. I didn't know about it at all until it came up in the news. I have checked, had a look at it, have researched it, and it is 100% true. It's actually called the Public Holidays Act, and it allows you as an employee to exchange a public holiday for any other day, as long as it's agreed to between yourself and your employer. It's good in for religious purposes as well. For instance, around the Christian Christmas, does obviously not a public holiday for any others, but there are public holidays for for the Jewish community, for other communities as well that aren't observed as general public holidays in South Africa. However, you can exchange, say, for instance, Christmas and elect to work, say, on the Christian Christmas, and then take that Christian Christmas and use it for whatever else that you want. And of course, then opens up a whole lot of new possibilities for employees there to shuffle around things. Of course, as long as it's agreed to by the company. A little known fact that's been in there for quite some time, but nobody seems to have noticed it, except for a few media articles that came out this morning. And least of all, what's happening today, the Minister of Finance, Minister Enoch Godongwana, will be presenting the budget speech today at 2 o'clock, just after the show. So make sure you tune in to that. We'll be broadcast live on Parliament TV and on DSTV on Parliamentary Channel. And make sure that you get through there. It's also, I think, broadcast on live on YouTube and various other social media platforms. But you know, what is the budget, and why is it so important for South Africans? Well, you know, every February, the Minister of Finance will present the budget speech. He presents it in Parliament. What he's doing is presenting the actual budget itself. And well, the budget contains the sort of financial roadmap, fiscal roadmap for South Africa going forward. It can normally contain amendments to taxes, spending plans for the upcoming financial year, and we'll also discuss distribution of revenue between different spheres of government, and of course expenditure and South Africa's giant debt burden, which I'm sure will be a major topic of this budget speech. It reflects the country's socioeconomic policy priorities, and it translates those priorities and political commitments into expenditure. So it allows the government and various departments to spend. It gives them a limit on how much they can spend, and it takes into account how much lending the country does, and how much tax revenue there is, and hopefully distributes it evenly across all the various sectors, or sometimes unevenly. So a lot of excitement about it today in certain areas, a lot of boredom in others, I'm sure. But we're going to be discussing quite a bit about it today as a preamble to the budget speech, what's going on. Various economists have made pretty similar projections and predictions according to the budget speech, which is some of them quite concerning, some of them quite exciting, and others might be quite boring to the rest of us. But that's what we'll discuss after the break. And our special guest for today is none other than Kieran Ryan, a independent journalist who writes a lot for MoneyWeb on the financial side, and is extremely knowledgeable in financial matters. And Kieran has a lot to say about the budget, and will raise some major concerns. DSAfrica.co.za did run a public participation process for the budget speech, encouraging the public to offer tips towards the minister. And the Treasury also ran the same campaign, and quite an interesting response to it, I must say. There were around about 2,000 or so people who did actually take the time out to offer some tips, most of which were fantastic, really, really fantastic. And a lot focused around managing the energy crisis. That was one of the main points that did come up. You know, and a lot of people were concerned about government expenditure as well. And there's some fantastic suggestions made to Parliament and to the Treasury around that. So well done to the public for taking the time to actually have their say on it. We need to see more of that. Hopefully the minister will address the input from the public, as it does count towards a participative democracy in which you as a citizen do get to influence the way this country is run. You can only do that by having your say, of course, on these various matters. So not much else to say as what was going on during the week, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of exciting and a lot of stuff to say after 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock today when the budget speech has been concluded.
You are listening to Dear Parliament with Rob Hutchinson, because democracy doesn't just happen.
And welcome back after that short break. And as I mentioned, none other than Kieran Ryan will be joining the show. So let's introduce Kieran. Kieran, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Rob. It's been a while. Good to see you and talk to you again.
Yeah, it has been a while. Like I keep saying, every time we talk, we should make it a more of a frequent thing and more of a regular show and get to chat. Kieran, you've raised some extremely concerning points about the budget speech. We were chatting earlier about the concerns that you do have. I'm also seeing it coming around and through several comments from various commentators and economists around the budget speech, with influences coming from abroad, Trump and saying, putting on more restrictions on South Africa, cutting funding in certain areas, and now talking about adding VAT onto SA exports or imports for the US. What is your opinion on what's going to be coming up in the budget speech and any major concerns that you might have?
Yeah, I think what you're talking about is tariffs. What Donald Trump is talking about is adding 25% tariffs on South African imports. That is a concern. And I think we are probably at the beginning of a process that there's this massive realignment that you can see happening between the United States under Donald Trump and a lot of countries around the world, South Africa being one of them. We found ourselves in this very kind of unwanted spotlight at the moment, partly because of South Africa's role in bringing a case before the International Criminal Court against Israel, but also because I suspect, and I can't really prove this, but I think there's a lot of South Africans that are in United States and have the ear of Donald Trump and Elon Musk. And they've just been pointing out to them the kind of what they would define as the discriminatory laws that have been applied to minorities in South Africa. And it's kind of now become an international issue. Just to get back to my point, I think the first salvo from Donald Trump is to impose these tariffs on South African imports. Now, what are our imports? Well, we are a member of, or we're a participant in AGOA, which is the America Growth and Opportunity Act, basically giving tariff-free access to a range of South African goods. The primary beneficiary of that are cars. So about half of the imports to the United States from South Africa are vehicles. And that's worth about $150 million a year to South Africa. If that goes, then the AGOA, the whole purpose of AGOA and the whole automotive industry in South Africa is going to have to do a fairly substantial restructuring and rethink. That's what I think. But I believe it's going to go beyond that. I think we're going to see a lot more penalties applied to South Africa in the coming months. And I think they're kind of looking at this and they're talking to South Africans. Donald Trump is an interesting guy. You know, he does throw out these trial balloons every now and again. Very kind of explosive, one would say maybe even destructive suggestions. But, you know, he's a businessman and that's how he negotiates. You know, he says, you know, I'm going to take over Gaza. Does he really mean that? And people have been discussing that for, you know, the last week or so, and that he can't possibly mean that. But this is his style of negotiation, and I think we're headed down that path. But just to get back to the budget point, I mean, South Africa's taxed out. There's a thing called the Laffer Curve, and this is during Ronald Reagan's time when he was president of the United States, where he Laffer. The Laffer Curve principle basically says that you can increase taxes up to a certain point, but beyond a certain point, which we are at, which is 25% of all the income earned in South Africa is going to the government. 25% of GDP is consumed by the government. That Laffer Curve principle says, you know, you can double taxes. You do anything you want, but you're not going to get any more tax revenue. We're at that point. Even Edward Kiesewetter from South African Revenue Services, he admitted that this week in Business Day. So what are the options that the government have? There's talk that, you know, they'll raise personal income tax. They might increase VAT, which I think would be catastrophic. The South African Communist Party has come out and said that raising VAT has got no way, don't touch it, because it hurts the poor the most. And that is true, because people who are living on the breadline, if you increase VAT from 15 to 16% or 17%, what it is, that's kind of getting towards European rates of VAT. We can't do that in South Africa without really hurting the poor. That extra 1% out of their pocket is going to be extremely damaging. If you're middle class, you can absorb it better. You know, if you're a high income earner, it doesn't really matter too much. But what it does signal is government spending out of control. There's a thing called tax buoyancy ratio, which basically measures how responsive taxes are to economic growth. Well, we've had flat growth. You know, we've been less than 1% for the last few years. So that tax buoyancy ratio is currently 0.7%, which means tax revenue growth is lower than our economic growth. It signals a weak economy, and it means that increasing taxes just isn't going to work. There's no responsiveness to raising taxes. It's not going to bring in any additional revenue, because people are going to find ways around it. They're going to spend less or whatever it is that they do to avoid that. That's my main concern about this. I think the other thing that South Africans are really fed up with, you know, is we are now beginning to have to pay the bill for the state capture thing that happened under the Guptas. The cost of that is just astronomical. You look at municipal debt and the debt owed to Eskom, that's about half a trillion rand, 500 billion.
And that's money owed to Eskom.
Owed to Eskom, yeah.
Unpaid. No money Eskom that owes. It's
It's money owed to Eskom, that's right. Then you look at the bailouts that have been received by the state-owned enterprises. That's about 400 billion just since 2008. Oh, and we continue to pay that. Transnet, for example, the interest on its debt alone is 1 billion rand. I'm getting confused with my billions and trillions. There's so many zeros in these things. But they're paying 1 billion rand a month in interest alone on debt of 130 billion. Half of that debt is from state capture. Then you've got to add in
Transnet?
That's just Transnet.
Transnet. Because I know that public debt in general is around just the debt servicing costs are about 20% of the total revenue from government, which is extraordinary. That's 20% of what government brings in. One-fifth is just for servicing the cost. Repayment of interest is it's unsustainable, completely unsustainable. And that's that takes away from expenditure on healthcare and policing, education, and so on. In fact, it's more, they're paying more in debt service costs, paying off interest, than the government does actually spend on healthcare, policing, and education together, which is absolutely crazy. But as you say, these debts of the state-owned entities is part of that.
Yeah, I'm just afraid that they don't really know where to scratch around to find more revenue. You know, when you start to drill down into where do they collect revenue from, and you know, we hear this every week in the papers on MoneyWeb and elsewhere. SARS is going after this group. SARS is going after that group. This super aggressive SARS, you know, it's the one department that works with supreme efficiency.
Death and taxes.
And I tell you, it's a remarkable achievement. If the other government departments could work that efficiently, we would have a functioning country, but that's not the case. You know, so where does all this money get spent? Well, education, you've mentioned the interest on debt, that's massive and unsustainable. But, you know, education, we're spending, I think this coming year, it'll be close to, again, R500 billion. These figures get so meaningless. But then you question, what is the return on investment for that? You know, we don't feature well in international studies in terms of maths, in terms of science. You know, we've the artisanal skills, the artisan trades. You have to basically be employed in a company, and the educational system is just not servicing the economy the way that it needs to. So there's that. Then the other thing is public servants. We have 1.3 million public servants in South Africa. They absorb about 10% of the budget. Yeah. And the IMF has come out and said, look, you guys have got to trim this. You know, again, why do you need such a massive public sector? That's, you know, one in five formal employed people in South Africa are in the public sector. So
massive wage bill that has to be.
It's a massive wage bill. And by the way, they are talking about a 5.5% wage increase.
I saw that.
When inflation is down around 4%, you know, that's just creating a problem, kicking the can down the road. It's going to have to be paid from somewhere.
And government wages or salaries are way higher than private sector salaries or the equivalent job as it stands.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If you've hit the jackpot, if you can get into the public sector. I recently did some research on that. You're about 50% better off if you're in the public.
50%.
But yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you calculate that?
That comes from Stats SA. It's a Stats SA employment report.
50% better off. What do they mean by 50% better off? Financially better off?
Better off, yeah.
That's...
But now what I was going to say is Bloomberg has come out this week with a story saying that the government is going to offer early retirement packages for people who are between 55 and 65. They're going to give them very generous, you know, like a 2-year salary if they retire early. So they're going to try and trim that. We'll see what the take up is there. But
does that really work, Kieran? Does it really work? If you take a 2-year early retirement.
What do you do? Yeah. What do you do?
And does that really help the government financially?
Apparently they've set aside 11 billion rand just for that. So presumably, you know, the pensions will be preserved and the guys will get an extra 2-year salary for retiring early. So, you know, you're paying, no matter how you look at it, you're going to be paying for it. But structurally, you've got to bring down that figure.
Because would that be cheaper than retrenchment? So surely they should weigh up the odds.
Oh, retrenchment would be a disaster because of the trade unions would get involved.
Oh, yeah,
it would be extremely disruptive. So I don't think that would work. Yeah. I mean, I think the other point that is of concern, so the one is the public sector and the size of the public sector and people employed there. The other one is the number of people on social grants in South Africa, 28 million people. We're a country of 65 million people. It means nearly half are receiving some kind of social grant. That's a massive drain. And of course, they're talking about this this minimum income grant as well, that maybe
about it.
So they're going to have to figure out how they're going to do that. But then you look at, okay, so this is classic sort of Marxist-Leninist playbook. It happened in Zimbabwe and it happened in other countries where you have a revolutionary movement that gets in power, and there's a lot of free stuff that's given out. But essentially what you're doing is you're creating this class of people who are dependent on the state. Instead of creating jobs, the only way out of this mess, and it is a mess, and we are blocked into a corner here, the only way out is to really grow this economy, but fast. It could be done, but it would be painful for perhaps a year and a half, 2 years, and then you would start to see some growth. And, you know, in other words, how would it be done? Well, it would be done by reforming much quicker than we are these public sector companies like Transnet and Eskom. Getting government out the way and just stop with all of this this new legislation that is coming through. They're now planning this new state enterprises bill. They want to put all of the state-owned companies under one organization, but without any perceivable benefit. I mean, if you go through that bill, you say, what is the purpose of this? You know, is this just a bunch of politicians or bureaucrats sitting around and thinking, well, we've got to occupy our day somehow? Dream up some nonsense, and I think that's what it is.
Absolutely. I've paid quite a bit of attention to that bill. In fact, ran a public participation campaign on it, and it's exactly that. It doesn't seem to be any justifiable reason to set up another state-owned entity, one entity to control them all. It was actually Pravin Gordhan's idea and set up by his ministry, which is now defunct. But yeah, again, it's just going to make another level of problems. That's all it is. And what this entity will do is oversee the budgets and finances of the others. But will it really? You know, like so much goes under the radar that I just don't see it happening whatsoever. And how many people are going to have to be employed in this to take care of so many state-owned enterprises and companies as well? I think at last count there were about over 700 state-owned companies and entities together.
Yeah, it's huge,
which is extraordinary. But I think the bill only focuses on the major Eskom, Transnet, and so on, the major expenses there. But really, I don't see it being effective in any way whatsoever. Just another level of more government salaries. Another avenue for corruption, possible corruption to happen, and so on. It's just making government bigger when we should be doing the complete opposite.
Yeah, and just take the South African Post Office as an example. You know, the Post Office has been around since 1792. That's before the French Revolution, and it's now pretty much dead. Dead. I mean, it's still open, but there's a question as to whether this thing can actually survive. One of the things I'll be looking for in today's budget is to see if there's any bailout for the post office. They recently came out with this post office amendment bill. I think that's what it's called, SA Post Office Amendment Bill, where they kind of belatedly acknowledge that the whole business of communications has moved on from delivering letters into postboxes, because, you know, most people receive their communication in other ways, by email and social media and so on.
Yeah.
So that bill does give a nod towards the realities, you know, that we have in this country and around the world, is that technology is just flying way past what the post office was designed to do. But it's still wanting, or encouraging is the word that they use, encouraging government departments to use the services of the post offices, no matter how badly they are, they're delivered. So I have a doubt that the post office probably will survive, but it'll be very trimmed down. And, you know, we've been through these iterations before. I think it's a case to watch.
Definitely. And I think from what I've seen in the news and in the legislation, the post office still wants control of certain parcels up to a certain value or certain weight. I think if it's anything under 1 kilogram, they want to claim that they have exclusive rights to deliver that. But I think, as you say, the private sector is way ahead of the post office. And as far as reputation, costs, and trust value as well, nobody trusts the post office to be effective or efficient or your parcel will never arrive kind of thing. But no, I agree with you 100%. The days are absolutely numbered.
You are listening to Dear Parliament with Rob Hutchinson, because democracy doesn't just happen.
Welcome back once again. Before the break, we were chatting to Kieran Ryan around tips for the budget and what to expect in the budget speech and what's coming up. If you missed the beginning of a conversation, don't worry, you can catch it on our website at www.highfm.com and have a look there. There's other podcasts that you can listen to and look around, have some fun, listen to all of us saying. Kieran, we've been talking a lot about government expenditure and with state-owned entities and so on, but obviously government needs to raise that money to spend. There's been talk about a possible VAT hike, which you did talk about, which, as you said, might probably be a horrific idea. I also noticed that there might be an increase to the fuel levy. The fuel levy is quite a stable form of income for government. It raises an incredible amount of money, and it's always been there. There might be an increase to sin taxes, tobacco and alcohol as well. That also raises, it's also steady income stream for government. But one thing I found quite interesting was the talk of establishing a transformation fund. Now they call it the transformation fund, and it's a 100 billion rand fund established to foster economic transformation by supporting black owned businesses and small to medium and micro enterprises, SMMEs. Now, the Minister of Trade and Industry did mention this, and how it will work is by drawing from the private sector funding. So it'll be almost like a stealth tax on corporates and businesses. And he's talking about 3% of annual net profit. So that's profit after tax. Take 3% of a company's profit. That's a huge amount. And that's, I don't know what my feelings about that. But that are, as a business owner, it's 3% is quite a bit on top of your 26% that you'd normally pay in company taxes, along with 15% VAT on top of that, plus provisional taxes and so on. Companies are under some serious strain here.
Yeah. I think if they proceed with that, you're going to find all kinds of tax arbitrage devices being developed. I mean, you can make a profit disappear. That's what you have accountants for. You know, you want to pay less tax, you want to pay shareholders less, or you pay them out in some other way. You're going to find all sorts of devices that are ingeniously developed to get around this. But this is just part of, first of all, why is this needed? Why is this needed? What is its objective? You know, it's another transfer from the productive to the unproductive sector. There's no other way to phrase that. Just looking at who bears the burden of tax in South Africa, there are about 7.5 million registered taxpayers in a country of 65 million people. We can debate that. I don't know how many illegals we have, but let's take the 65 million. But of that, people who are 240,000 people are paying 25% of all personal income tax, which is about 40% of all the tax raised in this country. That is a massive burden. placed on the shoulders of very, very few people. So when you talk about, introducing a new tax, a transformation fund tax, all of these fancy ideas, you really are targeting that same group of people over and over and over again. You're going to get a tax revolt at some point. It's been spoken about for years. Some people are doing a tax revolt by emigrating. They just go overseas to places where, the tax regime is better. Dubai has become very popular with South Africans. Mauritius
has been fantastic for businesses. A lot of South African companies moving their head offices to Mauritius simply for the tax benefits. Yeah.
Well, it's almost a colony of South Africa, from what I understand. It's been many years since I've been to Mauritius, but beautiful island. I don't know if I would want to move there. You get tired of beaches too.
Yeah, that's true.
But the point being that the burden on the shoulders of very few people in South Africa, they're going after the same thing. It's not going to work. In my opinion, it's just not going to work. And you've got a government which is not really showing any of the required restraint. I mean, this whole state capture thing is like, yeah, well, it's old news. Well, it's not old news. You know, we had the Zondo Commission, but we are paying for it. We are still paying for it. Uh-huh. And last year, the government collected spending was 2.2 trillion. That's with a T. I've got that figure right. So the average tax rate in South Africa is 21.3%. That's the average. Now, you think, okay, well, that's not too bad. It is bad because there are a lot of people there in the averaging process that are paying nothing. So a lot of people, a relatively few people are carrying a huge burden in this country, and I don't think that's sustainable for an economy. Again, the point is you have to introduce measures to grow. If you grow the economy, you will create more income and you'll create more jobs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's a vital point that does seem to come out here. The trick is, how do we grow the economy? Perhaps that's something we can chat to right after the break.
You are listening to Dear Parliament with Rob Hutchinson, because democracy doesn't just happen.
Thanks, Kieran. And let's wind this up with a bit of a positive note. Are there any positive notes towards this budget speech? I saw some comment in an article that Treasury needs around 300 billion rand extra in revenue. Now, I mean, we've chatted a lot about raising certain taxes, possible income taxes, VAT, fuel levy, tobacco and alcohol, the transformation fund. Is there any light at the end of the tunnel here, or are we just heading towards the fiscal cliff?
Yeah, we're headed for the fiscal cliff. But there is some good news. You know, the South African economy is starting to pick up some steam. It'll probably the economists, the consensus is we will grow. I mean, this is almost embarrassing to say it. 1.5% this year.
It's been in an average of about less than 1%.
Less than 1%
for the past 10 years.
Yeah,
which is
pretty shocking. Yeah. It is pretty shocking. You know, anybody that's growing, if you are running an enterprise and you're growing at 1% per year, you know, you do some introspection, and you see, okay, how can we do this better? That is not happening at anything like the level that it needs to happen in this government. And my concern is that the DA has signed on to this government of national unity, and you know, that they become co-conspirators in a project which may not deliver anything like was promised at the time of the election. I do admit that the portfolios that are being run by the DA seem to be doing pretty well, like home affairs and agriculture, the prison system. All of that, there's been some, and they communicate very well, you know, these new ministers like Leon Schreiber and John Steenhuisen. Yeah. But they may become captive in this whole thing. Anyway, you asked me some positive news. The one piece of positive news is the economy is growing, and that is going to be beneficial. That's going to create jobs on its own. Yeah. I think the figures are that for every 1% you create about 100,000 jobs. Nothing like where we need to be. But, you know, for this to look at what Trump and Elon Musk are doing in the United States with DOGE. Yeah. What does that stand for? The Department of Government Expenditure or?
That's it, yeah.
Basically, it's the Zondo Commission, but operating at a fraction of the budget and with a lightning speed. They are moving in and they are tearing up these crazy budgets and these crazy expenditure items.
Yeah.
Of all over the place. I mean, South Africa being, you know, on the receiving end of that with the funding for our HIV programs.
Yeah.
That's kind of how you do it. You know, you signal to the entire government that there's no corner that we're not going to look at. We're going to do lifestyle audits on you. You're living in a luxury apartment in Sandton, you know, and you're on a salary of 700,000 rand a year. We want to know how you got that money.
I think the big difference there is that they are actually taking action and they're actually implementing their discussions and their solutions, which is sadly lacking in the Zondo Commission. I mean, what did the Zondo Commission end up costing South Africa? 1.3 billion rand.
Yeah, and took, I think, over 3 years to complete.
To me, that was just another form of corruption and wasteful expenditure because nothing has happened about it. Thanks for the report, guys. You're on your own.
And the recommendations were, this needs more investigation.
Yes.
Well, I thought that was your job.
Correct.
You know, look, it's being a little bit simplistic to say that. But from a legal point of view, you've got to present a case to a prosecutor that can go before a court and not get thrown out. But, you know, our rule of law here, which is one of our strong points in South Africa, is, you know, you have to do these things by the law.
Yeah.
But there are ways to do that. And, of course, Trump has this magnificent thing called the executive order where he can just make laws by signing a piece of paper.
Yeah.
He sealed off the border, apparently, the southern border of the United States. I think he signed over 100 of these executive orders that's releasing people from prison. All these protesters who were locked up back in 2020.
He's basically re-signing a whole lot of the executive orders that Biden undid from his previous administration. Yeah.
You know, this it's controversial, and people are having a go at him and Elon Musk about that. You know, is this extrajudicial? Is it constitutional? All that kind of thing. But my God, is it shaking up the world? It's shaking up the Europeans. Mm. Everybody's kind of paying attention.
Yeah, and it's great. I think it's the shakeup that the whole system actually needs. And I know Trump can be extremely controversial, but in my opinion, I think he's doing a great job. He's doing, he's fulfilling promises. I mean, that has to be noted. Probably one of the only presidents that ever actually delivered on his campaign promises. But it's a lesson for the rest of the world to actually get things going. The system needs to be changed, and no more so than in South Africa. No more so than in South Africa. Really, it does. And all the sanctions that he's imposed here and everything else, well, I think it might just be the kick up the butt that our government does actually need. Kieran, unfortunately, we've run out of time yet again. It's been an absolutely wonderful chat with you, as usual. Some great insight into the budget speech that will be on at 2 o'clock in an hour's time. So let's catch up again next week and review our prelude to the budget speech. Let's check how accurate we were and what else we need to dress up. Fortunately, listeners, that's the end of it. If you missed it, you missed the conversation, please go to our website, www.highfm.com, and take a listen to it. And Kieran, once again, great to chat. We'll chat next week.
And thanks, Rob.
Absolute pleasure. And remember, listeners, remember to stay democratically engaged, active, and responsible. Ciao for now.